Your On the Mark podcast audio is coming up. On the Mark Online is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, the Auto Plaza, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and the Kia dealership, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday, brought to you by our good friends, Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. We're with the Prince of TMZ, Kevin Herr, on hand. Kevo, say hi to America.
I thought about taking that gig, but it's just so much fun being the TMZ guy for you. And I thought it would be, you know, a better fit if we if I actually stayed here and did it for you.
Do you need our opinion on this at all?
No, I'm good.
Really?
No, I'm good, thanks.
You sure?
I know you would never be able to cover some of the subjects that we'd cover if it weren't for that. So, you know, I want to make sure that
you are correct about that. We would not be able to.
Make sure I could do that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, the bottom line is another bottom line that comes through as well, and that's, you know, do we want to? All right, so
that's not the question, though. That's a whole different question.
You make me mad. I swear I hear that from you all the time. It makes me so mad. You know, terrible. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
It is. Well, our thanks to Bill King, Sirius XM, for being on the first half hour. Greg Pickle, in a few moments, will be joining us from Fight on State. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, will join us on the show. And Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and oh, what the heck, Kale Sanderson is going to join us on the show on Friday. Thought maybe you'd like that.
Hang on, I'm tweeting.
Yeah, I know you are. Believe me. Well, you tweet, I'll talk. We're bringing Greg Pickle from Fight on State. Greg, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. All right. You know, everybody's going to be asked about this, obviously, especially early in the week. I mean, you know, you watched this play out. I mean, you know, what were your thoughts watching it? Greg? Did we lose Greg?
Sorry about that, guys. When you sit down and actually break down what happened in Columbus Saturday night, you know, Brian and I were just talking about it. It's really not as surprising as you might think, and it's really not, you know, get up on the ledge worthy as Penn State fans are making it out to be. This was a Columbus atmosphere, an Ohio State team built to do things like this. The programs that aren't exactly up to its par, and Penn State, frankly, isn't up to its par. So, you know, the final score, again, there's a lot of overreaction, I think, right now. I mean, this is exactly what Ohio State should do and has the capability of doing. Could it have been better if you're Penn State? Yeah, absolutely. Could some things have been done to keep it closer? Yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just a picture of where Penn State's at right now and, frankly, where they need to be to compete with teams like Ohio State and get into that national title picture. So, yeah, it was bad. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not quite sure it was as unexpectedly bad, you know, as maybe the final score indicates.
But I do appreciate the passion of the fan base, though. You don't want a lackadaisical fan base.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
no, I completely agree with that. You know, like I said, there's a lot of I think there's a lot of discontent in the fan base right now, as there probably should be after a 63-14 loss. But you really, you know, you go back and look at what Penn State took into Columbus. You know, a lot of guys that perhaps didn't have scholarships before they got to this 2013 season. A lot of young guys, a lot of fresh faces, freshmen, sophomore. I mean, let's be honest, Penn State did not have a team that really matched up well with Ohio State well in any fashion. Let alone one that could potentially knock off a number 4 ranked Buckeyes team. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Steve, that the fan base is clearly invested in this team. And that was something a lot of people worried about when the NCAA sanctions came down. Would the fan base stay active? Would they care? Would results like Saturday night matter anymore? And, you know, I think that this is a perfect example of the fact that it still does matter, and there still are people that are watching this team closely that still expect a lot of great things. And, you know, quite frankly, like you said, aren't discontent, or are discontent, but not disconnected from this program.
Well, I mean, and you know, and you see that at this particular stage. Now, obviously, when you look at this, the one area I think where they usually, I rarely have seen a game change recruiting ever. Every player has their own reason for picking. I mean, if you have more experience in the recruiting area than I do, Greg, is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, games like the Michigan one where Penn State won in quadruple overtime, you'll get a lot of kids that say, wow, that was the greatest game I've ever seen. You know, that really helps Penn State in my mind. And then they go home, they go through a week of high school practice, they have a high school game, and the outcome of and what that experience was stays in their mind, but it's not quite at the same level that it might have been, you know, 4 hours, 8 hours after that game. And the same thing goes for what happened in Columbus Saturday night. Look, the kids that were there for a visit to Ohio State, yeah, I'm sure they left, you know, very high on Ohio State after that visit. Who wouldn't be? They dismantled, you know, a program that's considered a rival. They obviously, you know, maintain their chances of competing for a national title. So, yeah, I think that, you know, individual games tend to help some guys. They really do. There's a couple guys that really, you know, win and loss day in and day out, change their perception of the team based on one game. Overall, no, it's the end of the season results. I had one kid tell me a couple weeks back, 1-11 concerns him, 2-10 concerns him, never competing concerns him. But if a team's 8-4, 7-5, excuse me, and they're in a lot of games, then, yeah, you know, the game-by-game basis doesn't mean a whole lot. But if a team's, one, like I said, 1-11, 2-10, 3-9, losing by 30 points a game, then, yeah, you're going to see those individual games start to reflect the, you know, the some of the parts, and it's going to start impacting recruiting. But in terms of what Ohio State's, you know, win against Penn State did Saturday night, does it hurt recruiting? Maybe. Maybe for the kids that are deciding between Ohio State and Penn State, you know, it gives Ohio State a feather in their cap, so to speak. But in terms of, you know, general everyday recruiting, no, one game does not usually sway anyone's right. mind yeah. When it comes to picking what school they're going to go to.
As you said, though, the Michigan game where they had over 100 there did not hurt.
No, it did not hurt. It certainly helped. And, yeah, I don't want to minimize what that right. game meant to Penn State, kids mm-hmm. visiting Penn State, much like I don't want to minimize what Ohio State kids that visited right. for that game felt after that game. But in the long, in a general scheme of things, unless a kid, and I'll give you, you know, I'll give you a guy like Jason Cabindo, a linebacker from New Jersey who recently flipped from Syracuse. Now, he was already on the path to flipping. I'm fully convinced at this point that his mind was sort of made up that he was going to flip. But that win against Michigan sealed the deal. So when you have a kid that's ready to decide, yeah, one game might change their entire outcome. When you have a kid that sees a game like a lot of the 2015s, I mean, of that 100, a majority were 2015 and 2016 kids. For those guys, they're going to see a lot of football over the next year and a half. You know, there's going to be a lot of things that they have the opportunity to experience. So while they got a good representation and presentation of what Penn State football is about, you know, is that game, is that win, is that atmosphere going to have the same effect on them 8 months from now that it did 8 hours afterward? I don't think so. But it certainly is a game that, I mean, like I, you know, I wrote numerous times, Penn State couldn't have scripted a better visit scenario, especially for the biggest recruiting weekend of the season, to win that game in quadruple overtime.
Greg, Penn State has additional scholarships they can give. And maybe with those that can count against the Hackenberg class, because there were some openings there, they could get, what, 22, 23 maybe.
Yeah, we're thinking around probably 22 they could actually take at this point. I think it's going to end up around 20, but you're looking into that 20 to 23 range, yeah.
Right. Having the additional scholarships, and now Penn State being very active attempting to fill it, what kind of change have you seen on the scene because of that?
Well, the big change is that there's guys that he's been keeping in touch with. You know, a lot of these guys are committed elsewhere. Perhaps they're on the verge of committing elsewhere. They have a top five, a top three, which is a whole different discussion for another day. But they're getting back in with these guys now. The problem is there's a lot of positions that Penn State fans want to see filled. They want offensive tackles, they want defensive tackles, they want linebackers. The problem is those three position groupings are the ones that Penn State is having the hardest time really getting back into with those recruits. They get Jason Kabinda, yes. They flip him. They're looking at another linebacker, Melvin Kine, out of Maryland area. But even if it's an uphill battle for him, and that's the way it's going to be with these extra scholarships. It's tough to just flip that switch back on. And suddenly Penn State becomes an option for a lot of these guys where Penn State may have been off the table for 6 months. I mean, you look at outside linebacker, when Jarrett Wrangler, who decommitted at the end of August, beginning of September, and ended up at Michigan, you know, Penn State has shut out outside linebacker recruiting. It was done once Wrangler committed. And suddenly that switch had to be flipped back on, and all of a sudden they had to start trying to convince guys that they hadn't maybe talked too much for, you know, quite some time, to reconsider Penn State. A lot of guys just aren't interested in that, despite the success Ron Vanderlinden has had getting guys to the NFL, despite the success, you know, Larry Johnson has had with getting guys to the NFL. So ultimately, the key right now, it's a long time till February. You know, it's 100 days till signing day. It's a long time till February. The key right now is getting guys interested. So when you have your official visit weekend, December 6th through 8th here at University Park at Penn State, you get some uncommitted guys here. You get some guys interested in getting up here with recruits. You know, if you remember last year, Penn State's unofficial visit weekend, initially it was a huge haul. You get Jonathan Walton out of Alabama. He's now at South Carolina. Of course, he never made it here. Zade Esau never made it here from Central Dauphin. Of course, he ran into legal problems. But those two, plus Deshaun Hamilton, who's out for the season, and quarterback Anthony Smith, who's playing special teams, all four of those guys committed on that unofficial visit weekend. So the key now is getting guys interested to get them here for that weekend, and then all bets are off in terms of what you might be able to do once those guys get here.
Greg, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate the time you gave us today.
All righty. Thanks a lot, guys. Good being on.
Greg Pickle, Fight On State. A little perspective on Penn State football and recruiting as well. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Friday, Cale Sanderson and Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll come back with more in a moment. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Yes, the re-geared up Chateau here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo with remaining factory warranty just $25,960. 2009 Ford Taurus SEL all-wheel drive to plow through snow, $14,832. 2013 Ford F-150 4x4, just $29,399 after all discounts. 2014 Ford Fiesta SE, just $17,120. And a well-maintained, fully serviced and inspected 2011 Ford Escape XLT, just $16,476. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Latest football graduation rate out. Penn State a year ago came in at 91%, this year at 85%, which happens to be 12th in the nation among the 124 FBS schools. Another case where culture-wise, I'm embarrassed. All right, so they are going to rue the day they threw that word out there.
No, not they. He.
Rue the day. No, he's not the only one. Threw that word out there. Okay? Are things perfect here? No. Okay? But are things actually really good here? Yeah. Okay? They show up. They go to class. For the most part, they have stayed out of trouble. They have played good football. Here's a stat for you. Last five times a Bill O'Brien coach team has come off a loss, they have won. In fact, they're 5-1 coming off a loss.
I was going to read that stat, but I didn't. I didn't know if you liked that stat. I'm never quite sure of those stats, how many of those you like. That one probably is an accurate one because he's still the same coach and the same players, so for the most part.
Well, it just shows the resiliency, what they do. They come into practice. They get it done. They go to work the next week. They shake it off. They stay away from the hangover. They stay away from the possibility of having a team beat them twice. It means something. It's something I'll bring up in the pregame show with him. Illinois comes in with a team with a veteran quarterback and Nathan Shielhouse. Very, very good. Josh Ferguson leads the team in both receiving and in rushing. They've lost Ryan Langford, Paul Langford's son, for the year. Shoulder last week. He's done. Steve Hall, the converted defensive back, returned to the lineup after missing a couple of games and played very well last week. He's averaging better than 21 yards a catch. Spencer Harris caught a touchdown pass in here 2 years ago. John Davis, they use at both fullback and tight end very effectively. Matt Lacoste has become a nice, inviting target for Shielhouse. Evan Wilson. Martise Barr. They have some players on offense that can play. The problem they've had has been on defense. Despite the fact they have Jonathan Brown that leads the Big Ten in tackles and Mason Monheim, who's a sophomore middle linebacker, whom I like very much, they have struggled tremendously. They've given up a lot of points and a ton of yards. Ton of yards. They're, I believe, 110th in the nation against the run. And teams are completing 66.5% of their passes against them. So those are some of the issues that they have coming into this game. They're coming off a 42-3 loss at home to Michigan State. But Michigan State's really good. Michigan State will play Michigan this week. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with Adam Rittenberg. My talk with Adam tomorrow is going to be a little bit on Penn State, but mostly a trip around the Big Ten. I mean, try and get everybody up to date on where everybody is right now. And then Ron Cook will concentrate on a few interesting things with him tomorrow. Friday, Cale Sanderson. Gee, I wonder what we might focus on there. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, will jump in and fuel Kevin's passion for the Steelers. Kevin, by the way, you've got Milton this week on the road. The intro, the open has been written, I understand.
Well, partially.
Partially?
Yeah. Well, I'm still working on some of the numbers, so that's going to be part of the intro. There is still a chance that Shikellamy could have the number one seed at home field advantage through the playoffs.
Or he could take 45 seconds, ad lib it, and move on.
Nah, that's no fun.
Nah, yeah, it is, actually. I'm just trying to get to the game.
I got some time to fill.
I have this endowment dinner coming up on Friday night. And it's very important because obviously they endow scholarships and so forth. But I keep thinking to myself, you know, I got to be at the stadium the next day.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, but it's not like the endowment dinner is going to go to 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I mean, you're still going to get your beauty sleep.
Not the way I do it. I can tell you that.
You'll be out of there by 8. There'll be no baseball game to worry about, so you'll be fine.
Starts at 7:30. I plan to be out by 10 after 8. Yeah. Well, what about a dessert? Hey, look, you can get some on the way out.
Take it with you. It's a takeout dessert.
Yeah, it's a little plastic cup. You're good.
Box it up. Move it on.
But we didn't get to meet all the athletes. Hey, that's what they have a reception for.
You can do it afterwards. Thanks for playing. Speaking of no baseball tomorrow, Friday night, may not be any baseball after tonight, and that would be the first time since, well, before Babe Ruth was sold, that Boston has won the series at home.
I'm well aware of that, yes.
Well, I knew you would be well aware of it, sure. I can't even imagine what that place would be like if they win that tonight or tomorrow night even.
Well, I mean, it's not like they haven't won Game 7s there.
But they did not win it at home. I mean, winning the series at home is the difference.
I'm talking about Game 7s. They beat the Indians Game 7 in 2007 to get to the World Series. They won Game 6 to clinch against Detroit just a week ago. Roger Clemens beat the Angels in a Game 7 in 86, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's not like they have not won Game 7s before.
I don't think it's going to go 7. I said that before.
Or clinching games there. How about that, clinching games?
You know what?
Because Detroit was not a clinch. The clinching game was Game 6.
It doesn't matter. Game 6, Game 7, all that matters is that series would be won at home. And I think that is the only thing left for Boston fans right now to feel fully fulfilled as a Boston fan, being able to see him win it at home.
Kevin, I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan.
I understand that, but you're unique.
Okay. That's not true. When they won in 2004, that broke down every barrier. All of them. Every one of them.
You don't think watching it at Fenway is going to make a difference?
Well, I think for the fans there, it's going to be,
sure.
Yeah. But winning it anytime, anywhere is really cool.
Well, I'm not putting down anything they've done. I just think it would be a little bit sweeter to be able to win it at Fenway.
It's different. How about that? It's different. But the bottom line is to win it. Okay? I don't care if they win it in the parking lot. I've seen games go down the drain.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf here in the Chateau. Loving life in the Chateau. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Our thanks to Bill King from SiriusXM, who's on to talking college football with us in the 3:30 half hour. Last half hour, Greg Pickle fight on state. Go to our podcast to check out those interviews. Tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and Kale Sanderson will be on the show Friday. So that's what we have the rest of the week. You can check out any of those on our podcast. Obviously, listen live 3 to 5 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com, your home for Shikellamy football as well, with the Braves taking on Milton Friday night. Open still being written as we speak. Red Sox will take on the Cardinals tonight. Michael Wacha's been beyond brilliant. 4-0 in the postseason. A Red Sox lineup tonight that'll be a bit different. Shane Victorino rejoins the lineup tonight, but not hitting in his customary number two spot. I think it's a brilliant move by John Farrell. He's got Jacoby Ellsbury at the top, Dustin Pedroia second, David Ortiz third. Thus, he moves them up in the order for additional at-bats, maybe late in a game. Mike Napoli will hit cleanup. Johnny Gomes will hit fifth. Then Victorino hits sixth. Xander Bogaerts, who has played way beyond his 21 years of age, will be followed by Stephen Drew and then David Ross behind the plate. The DH is back in vogue, and that means Napoli's at first base tonight, and David Ortiz is the DH this evening. And the Red Sox lead the series 3-2 with John Lackey on the mound tonight, who has pitched very well this season for the Red Sox, but in particular has pitched very well at Fenway Park. Michael Wacha has pitched very well everywhere, but I will say this. Wacha, who is a fabulous young pitcher, does have one advantage that in his back pocket. While being supremely talented with a fabulous, fabulous breaking stuff that he has had the advantage of nobody seeing him before. Well, for the Red Sox, this is their second time through, and it's one of the few, if any, times that anybody's had a second shot at Michael Wacha. Usually, the Red Sox are really good the second time they see a pitcher. We'll find out if that holds true tonight or not. Wacha is an incredibly talented pitcher, a supreme talent, at just 22 years of age. So that is tonight just after 8 from Fenway Park in Boston. Kevin says it's the coup de grace if the Red Sox win in their home field, that it caps off everything for Red Sox fans and blah, 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 blah. it doesn't really matter to me in that regard. I think it's neat if they can.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to not be that the other series weren't that interesting because they didn't win it at home. I don't mean that.
I mean, when they won in St. Louis and they won in Denver, people seemed to be rather excited by it.
I did not say that it would be that was not worth it. I said that I think this one will be a little bit more special because it happened in Boston, especially with everything that's been going on in the last year.
Okay.
By the way, I've held back from doing it, but I can't do it anymore.
Ah! Waka waka! Oh boy, oh boy!
just can't stop myself. I've held out for this long, and I just had to play Fozzy.
That's okay, because I feel like the two guys up in the balcony. All right.
Wow, did that one get served up? Oh, man.
You didn't expect that, did
wow,
you?
Wow, that was belt high. You'll find that one in the left field bleachers.
You didn't expect it, though, did you?
No, I did not. Hey, I'd love to get our listeners' standpoint on this, and I could talk about this from a couple of different angles as a parent and as a sports fan as well, but you may have heard on WKOK the story of the young lady from Herndon wants to wrestle in middle school, and the Line Mountain School District has a policy against that, it would appear, for her to compete against boys in junior high wrestling, which is basically what it is junior high wrestling. So they have a suit now that's filed in U.S. Middle District Court to allow the 7-year-old to be able to wrestle on the boys' team because there is no girls' team. Now, female wrestling in high school does exist, and there are some teams that do have a female team, but they're few and far between. Especially in the elementary levels, they'll actually try and have a female-only bracket or a female-only tournament, but from time to time, especially at the elementary level, they get mixed in with the boys. And I do know that this is a very a very controversial topic with wrestlers as well as parents on whether that's okay or not. My personal feeling is, and I've used this stance because my son has wrestled a female wrestler a couple of times, and they actually gave him the option. They said, do you want to wrestle or do you want to forfeit? He's like, why would I want to forfeit? He didn't quite understand the problem with it. I think maybe we have more problems as parents than the kids do with it, but my thought is this, Steve. If she wants to wrestle, fine. There should be, you know, no special treatment. I mean, with some reasonable exceptions, and I think you understand what I'm talking about there, but when she's on the mat, she's a wrestler. It's not a girl. It's not a guy. It's a wrestler. And I think that's the way it should be treated.
If she wants to wrestle, let her wrestle. But that also means that you have to win in the wrestling room and earn your spot.
Absolutely.
On the mat.
There's no question. Just like if a guy wants to play field hockey and there's no boys field hockey team, I really don't have any problem with that either, but be prepared to have the same standard.
What guy wants to do that?
I know of a couple.
Outside of India and Pakistan, what guy wants to do that?
I actually, when I went to school, there was a guy whose name escapes me right now. But when I was in high school, he played, I think it was in Millville. I don't have a problem. Just don't assume that you're going to have any special treatment.
What guy would want to do that? Really? It's field hockey. Great, great sport. Love the sport. What guy wants to do that? Go play football. Okay.
Again, I don't care, but don't expect any special treatment. That's all I'm saying. I don't think there should be any policy against it. I mean, there's a few things that you're going to have to do. I mean, there's going to have to be, you know, locker room rules that you're going to have to do, and that's probably the only special rule I would accept.
Every place has a locker room. I mean, boys and girls locker room, that's not an issue.
Well, it's more of an issue, though, when you're during a match, when both locker rooms are being used, one by the home team, one by the visiting team. That's where the issue comes in.
Look, she has to win her weight class to even wrestle in the darn thing. So
absolutely, I mean, right.
And if she does, then terrific for her. If she doesn't, I'm sure being a part of a team is a great experience for her.
And there's a young lady that wrestles in Hughesville that's outstanding.
I would just hope that, should she be a part of the team, that she's treated with complete and absolute respect like everybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's all I would ask. You know, just give her an equal shot, you know, that she deserves. And if she succeeds, great, wrestle her. If she doesn't succeed, then like anybody else, don't wrestle her.
As I said, there's a young lady that wrestled junior high the last couple of years, and elementary as well, from, I think it's Hughesville. And she is a very talented wrestler. She has won a few because there have been some guys that have decided not to wrestle her. And the young lady takes advantage of those guys, and I don't mean this in a nasty way, she takes advantage of those guys that are tentative. She goes right after them. She's on the mat, she's a wrestler. And I have no problem with that. I don't understand why there should be an issue.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's... what guy wants to play field hockey? Come on, man.
I'm just telling you the way it was, all right? That was just the way it was.
What kind of school did you go to?
I didn't say it wasn't at my school. It was in the same league, in the same county. By the way, your comments can be made at 800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to jump in.
What guy would want to play softball? I mean, there's not a keg available. What guy wants to do it?
You know, there is. I did watch on ESPN professional men's softball, though.
Really?
Yes. And you know what? Those guys are enormous. I mean, they look for a specific type guy. A guy with a humongous upper body. And hey, those are the kind of guys they have out at every position.
They club those things, and their ability to throw a fastball. I mean, Eddie Fainter for years went around. The late Eddie Fainter.
That's right. I forgot about that.
The king in his court.
Yeah.
Went around for years, and people could not hit him. Could not hit him. So,
but you know, softball isn't really the issue because there is a male version of softball, and baseball the other way around. There is a female version of that.
Yeah, but I don't want guys playing women's sports. Okay,
but why should that be an issue? Why should it be an issue either way?
Why? Why? You ever hear of Title IX?
I understand. You can't have one without the other.
Well, you can't. If there's a baseball component, a guy shouldn't be playing, to me. I have no problem with a woman. It's weird. I have no problem with a woman trying it with a men's sport, but I have a problem with a guy trying to play in a women's sport.
Now, if the guy wants to play softball and there's a baseball program at that school, that I have a problem with. Because there are two separate programs then for right. that particular reason. But sure. If there isn't a separate program, then there's no other outlet, I don't see an issue.
I'm not sure that's the intent of why the softball program exists. How about that?
Well, no, I don't disagree with that. But in the case of field hockey, if there is a guy that for some reason wants to play field hockey and you don't have a men's field hockey program, and by the way, there is, if you didn't are aware, there are men's field hockey, they play it in the Olympics.
I said India and Pakistan, didn't I?
I know you did. Yeah, I'm just saying
because they're the only two that win medals.
Well, I'm just saying that there is worldwide a men's field hockey program.
India and Pakistan.
But it has to go both ways. Now, I know the big argument with boys playing girls' sports are the physical development may be an issue.
Yeah.
Or stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know there are some girls that can hang in their own that are pretty strong. They can hang.
Why do you think they have separate men's and women's sports?
But what if there isn't? I mean, from a high school standpoint especially, it's an economic issue a lot of times. I understand what you're saying.
Look, I'm sorry. there is no way in the planet I would have even thought about going out for a girl sport. Never.
And neither did I.
Ever. So, your field hockey buddy aside. All right. So,
I don't even know who it was, okay?
Sure. Illinois, Penn State, Saturday, Beaver Stadium. Looking forward to it. We'll talk more about that. Plus, much more. World Series Game 6 tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow we're going to have Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, on the show. Ron Cook from Pittsburgh's Post-Gazette. Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and Kale Sanderson will be on the show Friday. Looking forward to that. Our thanks today to Bill King from SiriusXM for being on the show. Greg Pickle also for joining us today from Fight On State.
Kale Sanderson's on Friday.
Yeah, I know. It's also illegal for you to mention your kid. All right.
I don't think that's a worry. Don't worry about it.
It's still illegal. Still a recruitable athlete. Yeah.
Fabulous. Technically. What was it you said the one time? Gail Sanderson's in your house recruiting your kid, and it wasn't directed at me, but he said if you're a parent of a wrestler and Gail Sanderson's in your house, it's pretty much a lock at that point.
Yes,
they're going there.
I always love with the parents is Gail Sanderson. Okay, great. He's in our living room. Fabulous, good for you.
I just want him to call me on the phone. He didn't have to show up.
No, that's not gonna happen.
Nope.
No. It's not gonna happen. But that's all right. Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
I'm just glad wrestling wasn't removed from the Olympics.
Yeah, me too. He fought hard on that. He was one of the individuals that fought hard on that. It's a shame it came to that. I don't understand why there's a limit on the number of sports.
I don't get that either. And being a big Olympics fan, there shouldn't be. I'm fine with a bunch of sports being in it.
Now, this could be from a management point of view.
Still.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, there's only so many maybe you can manage. I don't know.
I mean, that's possible.
But I don't understand, because there seemed to be a real push to get rid of it. That's what got me, was because you don't get thrown into the pool and survive. That's been the history of sports thrown into the pool.
I just don't think they expected the backlash. I don't even think they even dreamed of the backlash.
No, I don't think they did either. I don't think they counted on it. But it turns out there are 171 countries that wrestle.
Yeah, how many play wushu?
Well, that was... Look, I was looking at that from a tactical point of view.
I totally agree with you.
More of a Far East influence. China wants to do what the Soviet Union and East Germany attempted to do in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, to show that their society is superior through sports. So thus, they're trying to win as many medals as possible. And so I thought there was going to be a Far Eastern push to get a sport in that they can dominate. Wushu has 10 weight classes, as an example. Well, there's a good chance that China could win 20 of the 25 of the medals in wushu, which then exponentially increases their medal count and might put them over the top and beat the United States. So I was looking at it from that point of view. Maybe it's cynical in some ways. Probably is cynical, sure. But you know what? We've watched this play out too often over time. When you watch it play out too often over time, the way the Soviets did it, the way the East Germans did it, and watching, for example, figure skating and gymnastics, where you're constantly seeing those 5-4 decisions of Eastern Bloc versus Western Bloc.
I just want somebody to explain to me badminton.
Well, you hit the birdie over the net.
No. Why it's an Olympic sport. I mean, you can't play golf as an Olympic sport. It seems to me, I'm sorry, maybe I'm wrong about this, and maybe there's a ton of badminton leagues that I'm unaware of, but badminton to me sounds like a Saturday, Sunday afternoon picnic in the yard.
So you're anti-shuttlecock.
Well, I guess, but I guess you could make the same argument years ago for curling. And look what curling has done now that it's been an Olympic sport, getting some premier time on television in the Winter Olympics. There's curling leagues all over.
Curling is not a backyard sport.
No, it's not. But I'm saying it was one of those small, overlooked sports that nobody realized there were curling leagues around. And another one is bowling. I don't understand why bowling is not an Olympic sport again. I don't understand why it didn't make the cut. I know it was an exhibition in Seoul. I think it was 88.
Things I've never thought about much.
Well, I missed the team that year, so I was really upset.
It was interesting. One year, of course, archery is a sport. Gina Davis, in fact, you know, was able to bring to the forefront the idea of archery. There's a girl in my hometown in Enfield, Connecticut, that made the 2000 Sydney Olympic team. Now, I drove past their house all the time. I mean, literally, she's... and I would see the target in the backyard every day. She ended up finishing eighth. Eighth in the world is pretty good.
Not bad.
May not be a medal, but it's pretty good. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com tomorrow. Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette tomorrow. Tony DeFazio Friday. Cale Sanderson Friday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.